Using powerful telescopes, we can see stars and galaxies that are billions of light years away. But if the Earth is young, like the Bible seems to indicate, how can we see light that took millions of years to get to us?
It would take billions of years for light from very distant galaxies to reach us, and yet we have the biblical record of a very young Earth.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien for the Institute for Creation Research. By reading the account in Genesis and understanding the Bible's genealogies, the Bible seems to indicate that the Earth is only thousands of years old. And once evolutionary assumptions are set aside, science seems to confirm this. But what about the problem of light coming to Earth from stars that are billions of light years away? Doesn't this completely destroy the idea that the universe could be young? Stay tuned as we talk about distant starlight and how it relates to the Genesis account of creation. Dr. Danny Faulkner is an astronomer with the University of South Carolina, Lancaster.
The universe appears to be a very, very, very big place. We measure distances typically in millions and even billions of light years. And yet our creation model says that the universe is only a few thousands of years old. And the question is, if the universe is only a few thousands of years old, and if it's billions of light years across, how could the light have gotten here in such a short length of time?
The easiest solution to this problem is to suggest that the stars really aren't as far away as we've measured them to be.
Some people ask, well, perhaps maybe the universe isn't as big as we think. Maybe astronomers have made mistakes. And I don't have time to develop that right now, but I've studied this to a great extent, being an astronomer. And I am thoroughly convinced that at least qualitatively, those distances really are what we think they are. The Andromeda Galaxy, for instance, is nearly 3 million light years away from us. And even if we're off by 100%, that only gets you down to maybe 1.5 million light years, which is still a far cry from 6,000 light years. And of course, distances go out further than that. I don't think it's appealing to big mistakes in astronomy and these things being much closer than generally thought really is a good answer for this.
And although distant starlight is a challenge to creationists, there have been several solutions suggested. During the next few moments, we want to talk about these ideas. But first, it's important to point out that simply because we as finite men do not have a dogmatic answer concerning starlight, we should mistrust God's word. Remember, only 100 years ago, fossils seemed contrary to the creation account in Genesis. Now, the fossil record is one of the strongest evidences for creation. The more mankind investigates the world around us, the more we realize that God told us the truth back in Genesis. Could it be that someday starlight will also be one of the strengths for young Earth creationists? Well, for now, many scientists are working towards this end. And a couple of solutions have been put forward. Dr. Jay Weil is president of Apologia Ministries.
One of the popular answers for quite a while was called the Setterfield hypothesis, that back in time light traveled much faster. And since it traveled much faster, it could get to the Earth much faster than billions of years. However, the Setterfield hypothesis seems to fly in the face of most of what we know about physics and also has very little experimental data to confirm it. So most young Earth creationists don't use the Setterfield hypothesis anymore.
And although this theory has been outdated, there have been other models for distant starlight. Dr. Faulkner.
The most common has been the idea of a fully functioning universe, that for the stars, for instance, to be seen and fulfill their purposes given to be for signs and for seasons, the starlight had to be made visible really from at least creation week.
Dr. Donald DeYoung is professor of astronomy and physics at Grace College in Winona Lake, Indiana.
When God made the stars and galaxies, their light arrived here instantly. Already on the fourth day of creation, the entire heavens could be seen. Then after that, light speed was set at its present speed as measured today.
This idea that God created the stars and their light already reaching the Earth is a valid possibility. But there's an apparent problem to consider. You see, the trails of light coming from any particular star tell the history of that star. We observe stars that are millions of light years away that have died out already. So if the universe is only thousands of years old, we then have history of a star that never existed. Dr. Faulkner.
For instance, we see supernova 1987A. It was the first supernova visible in 1987. and we've seen expansion of gases from this. All sorts of detailed information about a process that, if this theory is correct, never happened.
At first, this false history of stars seems like an insurmountable problem. But we accept a similar type of situation with Adam and Eve. Let me explain. I think we'd all agree that God made Adam and Eve as mature adults, and that they had hair. Think about Eve's hair. If we were to pluck a hair from her head and place it under a microscope, we would find a chemical history about her. In other words, a hair from Eve tells a history about her that never existed. When we compare a strand of Eve's hair to a light trail from a star, we can then see the comparison. Some may say, well, God was then deceptive in his creation by making things look older than they really are. But that's not true, because he clearly told us in plain language how long it took him to create. Not everyone agrees, however, that God created starlight instantaneously arriving at Earth during the creation week. It is interesting to note, however, that we read about a similar event coming in the future. Dr. DeYoung.
I'm just thinking ahead to the end times, the latter books of the New Testament, where it talks about the culmination of the universe. It says, for instance, that the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll and the stars will fail. It's when God makes a new heavens and new earth. Well, so many of these objects that we see are far distant. As we measure them today, they're millions or billions of light years away. When God does come back to restore and redo his heavens, we will not have to wait for millions or billions of years to see this rebuilding. As Scripture says, it'll happen quickly before our very eyes. So I think that shows once again that big distance and big time are not the same. God can do things quickly in the end times, and likewise back at the beginning in Genesis when he made those heavens on the fourth day. He did them quickly, and it was visible to the far reaches of the universe as soon as he made them.
Like we've pointed out, many feel that God created the universe fully functional, with starlight already reaching the Earth. Others feel that there must be a different explanation for distant starlight. Dr. Jay Weil has researched this paradox of a young universe and distant starlight.
One of the most intriguing explanations for this apparent inconsistency comes from Dr. Russell Humphreys. Dr. Russell Humphreys wrote a book called Starlight and Time, in which he popularized a very detailed theory based on the theory of general relativity.
This new theory by Dr. Russ Humphreys is breaking new ground for creationists. Dr. Humphreys is a professor of geophysics and astrophysics, and is a physicist at Sandia National Laboratories. He explains his cosmology in his own words.
I have found out that by simply making a very biblical assumption and plugging that into Einstein's general theory of relativity, you get a universe in which clocks on Earth tick very slowly during the early parts of the cosmos, and that gives us time for the distant starlight to reach us.
Dr. Faulkner.
The Big Bang model of the universe springs from one interpretation of general relativity, but it's not the only possible interpretation. What Professor Humphreys has done is taken general relativity, taken different input data and different assumptions about how the universe began, and produced an alternate sort of cosmology.
Dr. Humphreys.
The way to deal with it, as far as I'm concerned, is to first go to the Bible and find out how old the universe really is. And it turns out that the Bible is very specific and very clear. The universe is very young as measured by clocks here on Earth. There's lots and lots of scripture to that effect. Then the second thing is to use all the scriptural clues and re-examine all the science. And when I did that, I found out that there was a crucial non-biblical assumption made about the cosmos to frame the Big Bang theory. And that assumption is simply that the universe doesn't have a center. It's called the cosmological principle, or the Copernican principle. But that's a non-biblical assumption. The Bible implies that the universe does have a center, and it implies that the Earth is relatively near that center, at least on a cosmological scale of distances. That makes a big difference in a cosmology. So plugging that assumption that the universe does have a center into Einstein's general theory of relativity gives you a cosmos in which some clocks can tick very slowly in the early stages of the universe.
Dr. Weil.
What Dr. Humphreys has done, let's say Earth is only a few thousand years old, However, the universe might have experienced a long, long time lapse during this 6,000 years, because according to Dr. Humphrey's theory, light can, the universe experiences time differently depending on where you are.
And although we don't know for sure if this is the way that God did things, Dr. Humphrey's model is pioneering new territory.
It is groundbreaking astrophysics research. As a matter of fact, his proposal for the variation of time, depending on where you are in the universe as soon as you make his initial assumption, that proposal wasn't really thought of until he brought it up. And once he brought it up, then a lot of other folks have been showing mathematically that his assumption is valid. So the point is, here's a creation scientist who generally gets very little respect in the scientific community, actually opening up new vistas in astrophysics research by proposing portions of a theory that had never really been shown to be true before.
As we near the end of our program, we want to point out that much more research needs to be done on the question of distant light from stars. Today, we've presented several different ideas about this topic. And this is the nature of science. New theories are made and tested. Some are thrown out, but others stand the test of time. As Christians, though, we know that the ultimate truth comes from God, and that as we better understand the world around us, we'll find that God told us the truth back in Genesis. As Dr. Humphreys points out,
we have no reason to be afraid of the facts. The more we found out about the universe, the more men's petty theories have gone flying into small pieces. And the Hubble telescope is busy gathering facts about the cosmos at large, which are further and further stretching the Big Bang almost to the point of breaking. In fact, it's finding facts, more and more facts, that are greatly at odds with the Big Bang theory. So we have nothing to fear from the facts. We do have to fear maybe losing our own little particular viewpoint of things, but we have nothing to fear about the Bible being made void by the facts. The more we find out, the more the Bible is confirmed, and that's been true in every field of science.
And when we think about distant starlight, it may give us some insight into why God created such a big universe.
Well, I would consider that he made the universe for a variety of different reasons, but one of them is to give us an illustration of how big he is. God said in Isaiah that, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So get a big view of the heavens, and you get a big view of God's thoughts.
As our program ends, we hope you've enjoyed learning about catastrophes and how they've shaped geology. This program is one in a series of 8, each dealing with the concept of creation. If you'd like more information about catastrophism, we'd like to send you Impact Article Number 38, free of charge. Just request Impact Number 38 when you contact us. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800, the number 7, and the word Genesis. 1-800-7-GENESIS. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. I am Chris O'Brien for the Institute for Creation Research. Thanks for tuning in.